This week, our favorite town in Canada, Fort Langley, plus some travel bay tips for long drive days with the family. This is RV Miles.
This summer, L.L. Bean wants to help you feel great out there with gear, tips, and advice for heading outdoors and exploring all the possibilities of the season. Here's a game-changing tip for the beach. Bring a fitted sheet. As nice as a nap in the sun is, the sheet isn't for making up the bed. It's a smart way to keep sand off your beach towels. Since the corners of a fitted sheet naturally lift, all you need to do is add weighted objects to each corner, and you'll have a nifty pocket of space you can hang out in, sand-free. For more fun ideas, easy how-tos, and inspiring stories, visit llbean.com/guide.
Welcome to episode number 287 of RV Miles. I'm Jason.
And I'm Abby. And we are two RVers who have been crisscrossing North America on one epic road trip since 2016 with our three kids, Jack, Ethan, and Henry. Here at RV Miles, we talk all things RV and outdoors, from industry news to travel destinations, our national parks, and so much more.
We are coming to you from, where are we? We are on our way back.
We are
on our way back to the lower 48. We've left Alaska, and we are back in the Yukon Territory. We are at Destruction Bay. I remembered. It took me.
There you go.
Tease it out there so I can remember. We're at Destruction Bay.
Does it feel like, though, you are still on Highway 1 being jostled up and down, bouncing all around?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where, like, you get off a roller coaster or a boat and you still feel it.
Yeah, we're still feeling it. The stretch of highway that we have been on, or we were on yesterday, and I think we will continue to encounter today, was quite something. I'm going to talk about it in my black tank, but people were not kidding when they asked us if we had been on this stretch of Highway 1 yet and what we thought of it, because, whoa, this road is real rough. But it's okay. We're glad to be making our way back to Illinois. And we are in a stunning campground today that we just stumbled upon as we happened to miss our turnoff for the spot we were going to boondock at.
Yeah, Canada, at least along the way up to Alaska, has lots of campgrounds that are first come, first serve, mm-hmm. 20 Canadian a night by the roadside, no hookups. But still, like, not right next to the road, so it's pretty and separated, and usually free firewood. So
yeah, absolutely. Nice. Yeah. Great place to stop for the night to try and just get our legs underneath us before we continue on today to Whitehorse.
And we are in a stretch here where we are we're knocking out some really long travel days, longer than we normally do. We normally try to keep it to around 200 miles or less. We're generally trying to hit 300 or more right now, and that is something that normally has been difficult for our kids, but they've been troopers because they know that they're headed home and excited to see the grandparents and everything. But yeah, we have learned a lot about traveling long distances with our kids. So at the beginning of the podcast here, we wanted to share a few tips on long travel days.
Yeah. So over 7 years as being full-time RVers, these travel day tips with kids have really changed. We've gone from having in the beginning a 3, 6, and 9-year-old to now having a 10, 13, and 16-year-old. So you can imagine the interests and the way we kind of structure our travel days has completely changed. So this is kind of how our day goes now that we're traveling with older kids, we're traveling with teens. And one of the first things that we really try to be mindful of, I think one of the biggest things that, and this can go all across the board for any aged kid though, is that every time we stop on these long travel days, and we do stop quite a bit, either be it for bathrooms or for fuel, or it's time to stop for lunch, everybody gets out. Everybody has to get out of the truck, even if we're just stopped for 5 minutes because mom has to pee again. Everybody gets out, takes a walk, just walk. You don't have to do anything else, even if you just walk a straight line back and forth in front of the RV. but just walk and move your body, because sitting for a really long time, even though you're not doing anything, is actually incredibly exhausting. The roads are exhausting. I mean, we were bounce for the majority of the time.
Yeah,
because
your body tense up in different ways, and your muscles are actually working.
Yeah, and you're sore. So we really make sure that everybody gets out, and even if they don't want to or they don't have to pee or whatever, you need to get out. You need to move. So that's the biggest thing.
We do try to say, as much as possible, use the bathroom, please.
Yeah.
So that we don't have additional bathroom stops that we shouldn't have. But it's worth making those bathroom stops, even if they're only need to be a short couple minutes. Mm-hmm. It's worth just extending them a little bit and getting that little extra time to move your body around and having that mm-hmm. little bit of a break.
I completely agree. I know that, you know, this will be day three now of, I think we've covered already about 600 miles yesterday and the day before. And I'm sore. I've been trying to make sure that every night before I go to bed, I'm doing 10 to 15. Last night I did a half an hour of yoga just because I need to move my muscles. So if I'm feeling it in my 44-year-old body, I know that the kids are feeling it. I know you're feeling it too. So move. The next thing that we have really tried to be mindful of, and we have tried to give our kids the responsibility of this, and it has bit them in the butt a few times, responsibility wise, is if you are driving through a long stretch where there will be no service, like our kids have no service on their phones when we are in Canada. The plan that we have, the Verizon family plan, only gives them phone access, cellular access when we're in the States.
And we have service.
Oh, we got
in
service.
Canada.
Don't worry about that.
But it's
I'm sorry, I pay for it. I get service.
Sure. But it's few and far between.
Oh, for sure.
Driving through these very remote areas of Canada.
For
I'd say 90% of the way, there is no cell service at all. And we have Sirius satellite radio.
Hasn't worked.
It hasn't worked this far north.
Yeah. And it's a little stressful because Bears preseason starts on Saturday, and we'd really like to be able to listen to the game.
Well, hopefully we'll be south enough that it'll work.
I hope so. I am doing everything I can not to have to buy that NFL Sunday ticket from YouTube. But they did message me again today and were like, we'll give you $50 off,
but it's
no refunds. It's so expensive.
It's $50 off if you join
YouTube.
Also YouTube Premium. So you're also paying $70 a month or more for YouTube TV.
Well, I think Grant told us that Sunday Ticket on YouTube is $400.
Yeah, it's $400. Yeah.
I think it shook out to being like $80 a month, which is crazy. And yet I'm about to draft for fantasy football, so I kind of need access to all of these games.
And don't blame YouTube for that. They wanted a lower price.
Oh, I 100%.
The NFL was like, no, it's going to cost $400.
Oh, it's all Roger Goodell. I know. I see him. Eventually, the commissioner of the NFL will be Ethan Epperson. So I think we'll get a deal.
So the idea is making sure the kids have downloaded things onto their devices if they have devices. They are great for travel days.
I know.
You do have to be careful, though, because they can cause motion sickness.
Yes. And I know we all have lots of opinions on devices and kids, but our kids have them, and we 100% use them on a travel day. You need, the kids have to be responsible for downloading their own stuff. And if they don't, and it seems to be 5 minutes before we're leaving, everyone's in a mad dash because we're like, we're about to take Starling down. And then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh no, my favorite episode of Ninjago didn't download. I gotta,
But there have been a lot of issues where, like, with some of these streaming services, you can download an episode of something, but it wants you to have an internet connection to make sure that you legally have access to that.
Looking at you, Disney Plus.
In order to play it. Mm-hmm. So they're only thinking of the download function as a data saving thing. So that you're not using your cellular data. You can download stuff when you're at home on your Wi-Fi. Some of them allow you to play them whenever. But for that reason, audio is king on the road. That
100%.
And the motion sickness thing. So if the kids can listen to audiobooks Or you as a family can listen to audiobooks or podcasts. Hint, hint, RV Miles podcast,
America's National Parks. Go back and listen to all of See America. I mean, we have so many options for the family to listen to something while they're on the road.
Abby and I, other than when we're listening to music, and again, make sure you have your music downloaded to Spotify or Apple Music, whatever you use. But Abby and I spend most of the time listening to podcasts, and we try to make sure we have some podcasts in there or audiobooks that the kids will also be interested in. So sometimes we can have at least three or four of us listening to something.
Yeah. So really downloading is key. Audio is preferred. You know, we've talked a lot about in the past podcasts that we listen to. For audiobooks, we do go through both an Audible subscription, which we have, and we also have a Scribd subscription as well. And I'll link to both of those if you're interested in checking them out, because Audible's done this thing now where they finally have adjusted their plans to be a little bit more, I think for us, a little bit more friendly. Before, in the past, it was just that flat fee, one a month for $15. And now they've got a few other options in there where you can get one credit for 2 months. And, you know, it's not as expensive, I think, personally, as Audible has always been in the past. But audio is king.
What's worked really well for us, I think, on the audio front, too, is books and stories that are shorter than novel length. Mm-hmm. You know, we've listened to a lot of the Nancy Drew mysteries, which are book length, but they're kid book length and shorter, and that's been a lot of fun. We've listened to a lot of the Agatha Christie, Hercule Poirot series, and those are sort of short audio stories.
But we've done them not as the audiobooks for the actual book. We've done the BBC, so BBC Radio does an entire collection of classics, that be Jane Austen, the Brontes, Agatha Christie, Dickens. Like, I mean, if it's classic English literature, they've turned it into a radio drama full cast with sound effects and music. It's really beautiful.
So it might be 2 hours long instead of 16 hours long.
Or 45 minutes. Or, you know, it's really digestible because you can, you know, the key to a long travel day is variety. So, you know, our kids also have a Nintendo Switch. Now, this is putting them in front of a screen again, but, you know, if you have a kid that's not really prone to motion sickness, a Nintendo Switch, some sort of handheld device like that can be great on a travel day. The kids will bring the iPad and they will do a lot of drawing in, I think, Procreate. They do a lot of stuff in Procreate. Sometimes we let them bring their computers and Ethan will play Sims or something like that. But again, that has to be really limited because of motion sickness and also because of the roads that we're on right now. It's really difficult to try and draw or play, you know, Switch, play Zelda or something when you're just constantly going,
Our kids when you see them on our posts on Instagram and whatever, they're very often wearing headphones. And lots of people ask us about
why
that.
Kids always have
they
headphones
on. Often have Bluetooth headphones on. And that's because they are just really into audiobooks. And that is great for travel days. But also, it's just sort of great for living small. Like, it's also kind of a way to get away from everybody in this small, tiny space, which we found something interesting yesterday.
But I will, I think we're going to talk about that in our tanks too in a little bit. But I would also caution anyone who negatively looks at kids who are wearing headphones, because also a lot of kids wear headphones because of sensory. Like, it's just a loud environment, be that outside or wherever they are. Kids have some audio sensory issues, and wearing those headphones kind of dampens that down a little bit and makes loud spaces, makes places that they can go with their family a little bit more accessible for all the family members. So just bear that in mind for those who are about to go and really try to slap a parent on the hand in because their kids are wearing, you know, headphones whenever they see them. It could be for way more than just an audiobook, which in some cases for our kids it is. So just a little food for thought there. Let's move away, though, from devices and audio, and let's talk about the big thing, which is the minute you get in the truck, What is the one thing outside, once everyone's done fighting with each other, because they're all sitting next to each other now, so now it's time to fight. And literally the minute our kids get in the truck, the minute, it's like they all have to just spar, don't touch me, don't do this, whatever it is. I cannot, sometimes I really miss the Chrysler Town and Country because of the separation of space. But once they're done sparring, what is the one thing that Henry says to us?
It's not just Henry, but it's mainly
Henry. It's mainly Henry.
He's hungry. He's always hungry.
I'm hungry. It does not matter if we fed that child 5 hours, 50 minutes, 5 minutes, or 5 seconds before we get into the truck. He's like Pavlov's dog. He is hungry. So we have come up with, and this is not, we didn't make this up. I'm sure I got this from somebody else. It's the snack bag. It's not a little bag. It's a big reusable grocery bag from Natural Grocers that is filled with food. And it sits in between Jason and I on the little console area of the truck. And at this point, because I've gotten, I'm tired of people asking me what we have. At this point, when they say I'm hungry, the bag just goes back. And look, just go through it, get whatever you want out of it. If you see three of something, you only get to have one because that means I brought one for each of you. So don't be taking your brother's fruit snacks because I don't want to hear about that it in gets, like 2 hours.
It gets rid of the, you know, do you want this? Do you want this? Do you want this? Do you want this? Times three because there's three kids, which gets exhausting. And, and you can even take this a step further. I know Jamie and Clay have the same issue with JoJo, and they have her pack her own snack bag on a travel day.
Well, they make her, literally, she just has her own snacks. And yeah. I know sometimes they do it for her, but like she has her own snacks, and they're nobody else's. They are given to her at the start. Yeah. She can eat them whenever she wants. If she eats them all at the start of the trip, that's it. There's no more. But that can be, and we've done a version of that in the past with some like individual containers. But for the most part, our kids will pretty much eat all the same things. So we just throw it all into the snack bag. And this is where Costco has been clutch for us on this trip, because I will go into Costco and I will just be like, to all the snacks into the cart.
Sometimes people wonder how we can have a Costco membership and how it's useful to us living in a trailer this small on the road. And it's really the snacks.
It's all about the snacks.
Teenagers and one that is
one bottomless pit
that eats as much as the other two combined.
He had three bowls of pasta last night, whereas brothers had one big bowl each. That little man came back for three big bowls, and then again, it's bedtime, so naturally he's hungry. Yeah. And he was still hungry at bedtime. So we do a lot of snacks. Everybody gets their own water bottle. Everyone's got water, everyone's got snacks. That's your stuff for the whole drive. We do, on long drive days, we do stop for lunch, though. We don't pack lunch, and unless it's a super long day. Like, if we're trying to do 500 or 600, 700 miles, then, yeah, we're going to pack lunch, and we're going to try not to stop. But we stop for lunch. We try to stop for about an hour. A lot of times we'll stop. We'll get Starlink out. We'll have lunch. Jason and I will work for a while.
Yeah, it's less about let's make lunch happen as fast as possible so we can get going.
Let me slow down.
It's everybody needs a break.
Yeah.
Let's take an hour, have lunch, let people rest if they want to lay in their bed a little bit. They want to run around outside. If you want to watch a quick TV show or something.
It's just like a break from everybody. I think even though we're all doing our own thing in the truck, we're all still together. And I think you just sometimes need to go off to your own space, read a book, like whatever. But, you know, if we know that we're going to do that, then, and we know we have a long day, we do try to get started as early as possible so that we can get going, that we can build in this time to stop. You know, yesterday's travel day was, we got going really early in the morning because we knew that two of the three of the kids had out school classes. So we knew that we needed to stop, and we knew that we needed to stop because you needed to write and you needed to film the news video. So we stopped in the afternoon for about 4 hours. and set up Starlink and were in this rest area and did lunch and worked and recorded and then got back on the road and continued into until about 8 o'clock at night. So it does help that it's summer and that we are in the land of the midnight sun.
Yeah, it gets
so that
this
helps.
Kind of stuff gets real hard when it's rainy.
Yes.
When you don't want to be outside without a coat and boots on,
yeah,
and stuff like that. If it's snowy, even worse, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's when you just don't want to be traveling long travel days. So it is helping that we're, you know, here with, a you know, 15, 16, 17, 18, 22 hours of daylight.
I suppose those things are a benefit if you have a motorhome and you don't have to like walk outside at all. You just go back.
But I mean, when we had Bussy, that was always a big benefit of Bussy is I would get up, like we could make lunch, we could use the restroom, like we were able to be a little bit more on the go mobile. And finally, setting realistic expectations is really important at our house. It's really important too that our kids know what the goal is for the day or for the week, where we're going. We have kids that really are not big fans of unexpected changes. So we really do try to make sure that everyone understands, okay, today is a long drive day. We're leaving at noon. We're going to be stopping. We're going to attempt to stop around this time. Then we're going to drive on. If we want to go further, like we did the other day, you know, we say, hey, we want to go another 60 miles. Like we want to get past this stop and we want to go to this rest area instead. And we talk about that and we let the kids know because, you know, what will send everyone into a meltdown, especially if you have something like Garmin, which is like big on the dashboard that shows like how many miles are left and what time you're supposed to arrive. If everyone can see that and that's the expectation and that's the goal we're all working for, and then mom and dad just flip the whole script and say, nope, that's not what we're doing anymore and we're going further, that can be fine. But for, you know, for our kids, they really appreciate knowing what is happening, knowing what's happening with their lives that day. Like what, you know, mom and dad are making these decisions, but Jack, Ethan, and Henry need to have a voice in those decisions and understand those decisions and know why we're doing these things. Nobody really wanted to go that extra 60 miles, but we knew what was coming the next day. We knew that we were going to need to stop for a long period of time. And we also remind ourselves that every mile we drive gets us 1 mile closer to home. So there is that idea now where everyone is tucking in and saying, okay, this is miserable, it's rough, but we can do this. And I think talking about it, you know, I'll add this on, this will be a bonus, I guess, like thought, is that We wanted to do that extra 60 miles. That was really tough and people were feeling really stressed about it. But we started, you know, because they were just so bored. And so we talked about, hey, this is going to be our life for like the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, we started this conversation weeks ago, too.
Right.
No, when we made the decision to get home faster.
Oh, yeah, because we made that decision as a family. We all sat down and talked about it. We all agreed that that was in the best interest of, you know, for Henry, for us, for everything that we needed to go take care of. But I said, hey, I can offer suggestions of things that you can do that go beyond just the, you know, your fallback things that you do on a travel day. But this, you guys really need to start, you know, taking a little ownership of this and like, what is something, what can we do on a travel day to break it up, right? Like, what do you get? Do you have things you guys want to listen to? Or, you know, do we want to, like I suggested too, like, hey, what if everyone becomes DJ for like half an hour or something? Like, drop some music into a playlist. We'll create a family road trip playlist. And why doesn't someone become DJ for half an hour? And we'll listen to the music you like to listen to. And, you know, just things that not only, I think, get them with their headphones off and out of a solo experience, but brings them into the family experience. Because I know that, you know, that last 60 miles ended up being, I think, our best 60 miles of that whole day, because for you and I started talking about things that we wanted to do when we get back to the Quad Cities. And then the kids just started talking. Everyone kind of got out of their individual space and spent that last like hour and a half just chatting and chatting away and interacting. And I think that, you know, when you try to offer some variety a little bit, things, unexpected things, little treats, whatever, then that kind of helps make the day and the drive go a little faster.
We'd love to know what some of your tips are. If you're watching on YouTube, you can leave them in the comments there or leave them in the Facebook group. We love to hear from you. That's it for our conversation on family travel. Let's take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about Fort Langley, BC, which was just a fantastic town.
My future home.
Be right back.
Chances are you've seen them on the road. That's because Blue Ox designs and manufactures the best towing products in the industry. Just look around. You'll find them on highways and campgrounds and anywhere you find people traveling in the great outdoors. Award-winning tow bars, base plates, and brakes, a full line of weight-distributing hitches, adjustable ball mounts, and a new line of fifth wheel hitches. With Blue Ox, towing doesn't have to be a drag. To learn more about how Blue Ox can make your travel adventures even more stress-free, visit blueox.com. This episode is sponsored by the Parkwolf app. Ever found yourself in the heart of a national park surrounded by beauty, but unsure where to go or what to see? That's where Parkwolf comes in. Parkwolf is the ultimate app for exploring national parks. As you drive, the GPS shows you what's coming up on the road, and an audio guide will fill you in on what's there so you can decide if it's worth a stop for you or not. Gas running low, looking for a bite to eat or a bathroom break? Parkwolf's got you covered. It keeps track of the nearest gas station, restrooms, food, and pullover areas. And the best part, it works without an internet connection. And if you're a wildlife enthusiast, you'll love Parkwolf's wildlife maps and sighting notifications. So before you set off on your next national park adventure, download the Parkwolf app for your iPhone from the App Store. It's your ultimate guide to national parks.
We're back, and we're here to talk about Fort Langley, BC, which is it's outside of the town of Langley, which is a larger town. It's this cute little historic town with a beautiful, quaint, like perfect main street. Just Love outside it. Of Vancouver, not far from Vancouver at all. And the intention here was for us to cross the border from Bellingham, Washington, and stay here at Fort Langley. And that's a very short travel day. I think it was maybe 45 minutes from the border, if that. And the intention here was to visit Vancouver from Fort Langley. And we just fell in love with this town so much that we never went into Vancouver.
Never left. No shade to Vancouver.
We talked about this in the past. We were also still a little reeling and overwhelmed from our experience in Seattle, which was fun and wonderful, but it was exhausting.
I think there were three things at play here. There was Seattle, which had been a big day, Victoria, which had been a big day, and San Francisco, which had been big days and big cities. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into that, and work and school, and to get somewhere where you can walk to everything, you just think, why would I leave Blacksmith Bakery? It's just right down when I can get coffee there every morning when it's right down the street from my campground.
There's no McDonald's. There's no generic restaurants.
You will not.
Everything is boutique and wonderful.
You will not find a Panera here. This is not the Villages.
Affordable?
No, at all. It's not at all.
But it is a wonderful little town. It is on a river, and then on the river is an island. I think it's called Bray Island or something like that.
Yeah.
And on the island,
podcasters would have looked that up. Jason and Abby are exhausted.
It's very confusing because it has a couple names. I think it's also called McMillan Island. Somebody's going to chime in.
Someone will correct us.
But on this little island, there's actually a First Nations reservation there, but then there's also this campground, which is a regional park. So it's a government run campground called, wait for it, Fort Camping. That's such a generic name, but it's actually a really wonderful campground that has pretty typical state parky type sites. They're kind of close together, but it's a very sort of communal fun atmosphere.
Yeah.
I'd say there was lots of like birthday party type stuff going on, people visiting, probably getting out of Vancouver to come visit
Fort Langley.
A lot of locals. Not a lot of Americans heading up to Alaska stopping here, which I think was really cool, because a lot of the Canadians were like, oh, really? This is the way you came?
Oh, okay. You really stopped here?
Yeah. And we just found it so charming. And like Abby said, from this campground, you could walk right into town.
We walked. We biked. It was great for Jack, because one of the things that Jack has really been craving is the ability to, you know, get on his bike or walk somewhere, you know, put his backpack on with his computer and everything, and then go to a coffee shop and work on his music or work on his scripts. But just go somewhere, you know, that's not the campground, where he can just be, I think, immersed in the hustle and bustle of what's going on around him. But this autonomy,
Independence, so wanting to just get out and make decisions on his own, like, get, you know, buy stuff on his own and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and this is this whole week, and I think that he has said that this was one of his favorite weeks of Baja to Alaska, if not his favorite
week.
Because of the freedom that he had, the independence he had to go off and explore the town on his own, on his bike, or just even to walk. So I think in that, just for that alone, that's why, you know, I really loved this area. Now, you know, I wrote about it in a past Road Signs newsletter, that I've stopped pretending like I love cooking around a campfire. I love cooking at the campground. I do not. I love going and eating food at a restaurant, like especially a local restaurant. And the food scene in Fort Langley was, mwah, it was so good.
I saw an article the other day. I didn't read it, but the headline was, camping trips are not vacations for mothers.
No, they're not.
And with the idea being that, you know, if the mother of the family is the one that does the primary amount of cooking, three meals a day, probably more if multiple people aren't eating the same things.
I mean, you could say that, and I hope you could actually say that camping trips are not vacations for parents. I think that would be a better headline. I get the humor of it.
This was a humorous article, and they absolutely can be. But there is an element of, when you go on vacation to hotels and stuff and you go to restaurants, there's that level, somebody has to do that work of making meals.
Right. And it's not me. And so maybe that is why I enjoy it. But at the same time, I think part of why Fort Langley worked so well for us and why we enjoyed it was because we could often go out to dinner, just the two of us.
Yeah,
we did that a lot.
Our kids are at an age now where we can do that, and we were close enough. We try not to go more than like 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
And this was a place where we could do that, leaving the kids behind and still be able to get back to them quickly.
Yeah, it's got to be that we can quickly get back to them. Everybody has to have service.
Yeah.
And I have to be able to get a hold of everyone. And so, you know, a lot of times we'd be like, oh, you know, eat your dinner. Bye.
Yeah,
and then we would go off.
When they get to be that age, it doesn't need to be the whole family goes out for dinner and spends twice as much, because actually our kids don't really like, they love going out to dinner, but they don't usually want most of the food that's at a restaurant. So
no, they just want Red Robin.
They actually eat better at home. So we make them a meal at home, and then we go out and have a nice dinner.
And listen, frankly, they've all aged out of Kids Eat Free.
Yeah.
So
or kids' meals in general. Like, I mean,
my gosh, Henry. Henry is our 10-year-old. Is like, so I'm going to need you to order me like a pizza, and I'm going to need a side of chicken tenders. And I'm like, no, you're not. I'm not spending. It's expensive now. Like, I'm not spending $30 on you, son, at dinner. I'm like, pick a meal, eat all of it, and if you're still hungry, Then we got to eat when we get home.
Especially here in Alaska. Whoa. Not here in Alaska. I mean, we're not in Alaska anymore. But especially in Alaska, where so many of the places, the kids' meals, I guess this is true for any sort of like vacation type area. The kids' meals are now pushing like $15.
That Seward Brewery, and I actually think you have it on for us to talk about what makes a good brewery as part of our detour, which is the after the show podcast we do for the Mile Marker members. You can learn more about that at rvmiles.com/milemarkers. But that brewery, a kids salad, y'all, was $16. There's this weird thing happening with breweries now that they've kind of figured out us Gen Xers all have kids, and millennials, we've all got kids, and they're like, oh, I know how we get all y'all in here. We're going to offer kids meals now, but we're also, anyway, we'll talk about it in Detour. It's fine.
we spent most of the week here, not at the campground, but walking into town and visiting all the really, really cute, quaint shops and eating at several restaurants and visiting a couple different breweries and places like that.
Yeah, and a few places we want to highlight is Wendell's Bookstore and Cafe. We really enjoyed the bookstore. The cafe was nice, too. Actually, Jack really liked going up to Wendell's a lot. This is where Jack hung out. Yeah. Wendell's was great. I really want to throw it out there for Blacksmith Bakery. That was our go-to coffee bake shop. Every morning, Jason and I would take a walk. It was such a nice way to start the day, just even to get a cup of coffee.
This was like, if you watch like the Great British Baking Show and like want all the things that they make on that show, you want all the stuff that they make in the technicals.
Yeah.
Which is really what we all want.
Victoria Sponge. Who doesn't want a Victoria Sponge?
Cases of that stuff is really what it is. Sausage rolls.
Oh, now you can see why Abby was there like every single day. So any of the restaurants, there's a winery, there's a brewery, there's plenty of variety in regards to styles and cuisines. Absolutely try them all. Other things that you can do there, if you're not into food scenes and you do want to eat at the campground, is you can take the Fort to Fort Trail. We did that as with our bikes. You can walk that. It's really enjoyable.
There is a historic fort there that you can visit. We didn't actually visit it, but there is like you can actually go to the fort. The fort was built by the Hudson Bay Company. And there were a couple forts, and so this trail goes between the two of them, but only the one still stands, and it is right in Fort Langley.
Yeah, and that is actually part of Parks Canada, so you can go check that out. Then you can do the Fort to Fort Trail. When you're on the island at the campground, there's the island trail. That's really nice to walk in the mornings. If you go over to the National Railway Station Museum, which is just as you come over the bridge from the island, and you're going to see the little train cars over on the side. You can go over there, go in. Of course, I had to go in and talk to the people that work there and find out, like, because they're locals, and always talk to locals. Locals are the one who gave us all the actual don't go. They're the ones that turned me on to Blacksmith Bakery. Don't go to the bakery on the main strip. Go over to Blacksmith. That's where you want to go. They also gave me a walking tour, and I've discussed how much I love a good walking tour. I took the brochure one evening and walked around Fort Langley and went to all of the stops that were on the brochure, read about them, went over and enjoyed a beer at the brewery by myself afterwards, read a book. It was just really lovely. I think Fort Langley really encourages you to slow down a little bit too. Like, the vibe is just real chill and community, and really just it's a lovely, lovely place to spend a week.
This is a place where I would like, I think, and we kind of did a lot of this sort of thing where if you're going to have a night out, like, go to one restaurant and have a drink and an appetizer.
Oh, yeah.
And go to another one and have your entree.
Yeah, you just go have
dessert. There's like 14 different ice cream places on this strip.
It's a restaurant crawl, dessert crawl, bar crawl, whatever you want to, however you want to crawl around Fort Langley. You could do a coffee crawl.
We had great poutine at the Trading Post. There's just lots of unique little meals, appetizers, and stuff like that at a lot of these restaurants that we really enjoyed, and like crafty, fun cocktails, that sort of stuff.
And there's plenty of little boutique shops. So this was a nice relaxing way to start our time in Canada and our time in British Columbia. And if you find yourself over in that area and you're in Washington, we really, really cannot recommend enough just jump in the border and go in 45 minutes into British Columbia and spending some time in Fort Langley. We don't think you will regret it. It's a wonderful small town that's got some great things going for it.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll check the level of our tanks.
Be right back.
More in a moment, but first, this video is sponsored by RVMattress.com by Brooklyn Bedding. Did you know that the mattresses that come with your RV are usually just a placeholder? Most RV manufacturers never intended that you actually sleep on it. We've been using mattresses from Brooklyn Bedding in our last two RVs, and we couldn't be happier. You can choose your thickness and all sorts of different odd RV mattress sizes. That customization was essential for clearing the bedroom slide in our fifth wheel and for the kids' bunks in the new travel trailer. We're sleeping great on real mattresses from a real mattress company in our RV. RVMattress.com offers a 120-night sleep trial along with a 10-year warranty, plus their products are entirely toxin-free and simple to ship and set up. We even had them shipped to campgrounds, and you just unroll them and let them expand. The RV Miles community gets 25% off when you visit RVMattress.com/RVMiles and use the promo code RVMiles. That's RVMattress.com/RVMiles with promo code RVMiles for 25% off. Our thanks to RVMattress.com for supporting this channel and to you for supporting our sponsors.
Welcome back, and it is time to check the level of our tanks, sponsored by our friends over at Matt's RV Reviews Liquefied RV Toilet Treatment, which you can find in our Amazon store at amazon.com/shop/RVMiles, along with a host of other products that we recommend to keep your RV life going. Jay, what is in your black tank this week?
I don't want to get too deep into it, but there was a pretty terrible accident in Pennsylvania this past weekend involving a blown tire on a motorhome. And so this is just a quick reminder to check your tires, keep your tires maintained, make sure you know how to check the date code. It's really easy to Google how to read the date code on your tires, and make sure you've changed your tires if they are older than 4 or 5 years. They need to be replaced. We talk about tire safety on travel trailers a lot. This happens to be a motorhome, and it seems like it was the steer tires. Be really careful about those steer tires on a motorhome, the front tires. You don't ever want to put used tires there. I know they can get really expensive. I mean, motorhome tires for a big Class A motorhome, they can be over $1,000 a piece. You can get more affordable ones. It's better to have more affordable ones that are newer than to have really expensive ones and to use them longer than their, you know, due life.
But your life is worth more than $1,000.
Yeah.
So please put appropriate tires on your motorhome, your travel trailer.
Yeah. I mean, the issue with the steer tires is if the steer tires, the ones on the front axle on a motorhome, if one of those blows, then you can't steer, right? So you can get out of control. If one of the rear tires blows, you're usually in a much better situation. So, rotating tires, stuff like that. You can even, if you can't afford to replace all your tires, just replace the front ones. There's things like that that you can do as well. But just everybody, please keep up on your tire safety. It's really important. Double check your tread life. Double check that you're keeping the proper inflation. Underinflating is the biggest cause of blowouts out there. And make sure that you're not seeing any cracks or bubbles or anything weird on your tires at all. Get them checked out by a professional.
Yeah. And, you know, this is probably in the longest that I can remember when accidents do happen. But I think this is the biggest loss of life from a single RV accident. That
five people.
It was pretty significant.
Vehicles.
Yeah. So tires are they're no joke. Like they can do some pretty serious damage if they're not properly cared for. So you and the people around you and in your vehicle are all worth getting those tires checked out. All right. Yeah. What is in your fresh tank this week?
Jack and I and our friend Grant, Jenny and Grant were with us in Seward and Anchorage. And
you would have seen Grant. He joined us on our live. Yeah. We had our recent live for Mile Marker members. It's the first Monday of every month. It was the first time in all of our lives ever, I think, that we've had an official guest the whole time. And he brought such an energy and I've known Grant for a very, very long time. We'll get back to what you're about to talk about in a second. But I just want to say, I've known Grant for a long time. It is not easy to sit down in front of a camera and put complete sentences together that don't include us and likes and stuttering. We know darn good and well how hard that is. I'll be danged if that man just didn't sit down.
He was natural.
He was natural. And I was like, how can we get him in the RV Miles network of podcasts? Because it would be very easy to edit him. So just got my brain turning. I know he's going to hear this. My wheels are going.
It was a lot of fun. But the three of us went to go see Oppenheimer in Anchorage at the IMAX. Anchorage, Alaska has an IMAX.
Oh, one IMAX.
And holy cow, Oppenheimer is a fantastic movie. We were all kind of speechless coming out of it. I don't think we had a whole lot to say. Obviously, it deals with one of the biggest, if not the biggest event in human history.
When I asked Jason, I called him to find out where we were all meeting, and I said, how was the movie? And for anyone that's listened to a past episode, you'll know Jason just went, good. It's good. And I was like,
I was speechless for a different reason this time. It's 3 hours. That 3 hours is packed in all necessary. And it was, if you're worried about seeing a downer movie, it actually didn't feel like that either. I mean, you do have to grapple with nuclear war.
You have to really grapple with the consequences
It is a downer movie, but it's sort of active and...
It's an active downer.
It's really interesting seeing how, the process of getting to the development of the bomb. And so it's really engaging. It's weird to figure out ways to describe this movie, but it was just really, really good.
Sorry, I don't mean to keep interrupting you.
Can you stop?
I know. I just want to say something. I'm sorry. What I wanted to say was, because I didn't want us to lose the thought, was that you said that you were speechless, but you were speechless, and yet at the same time, you went home, and within a couple days, you wrote the most recent episode of America's National Parks podcast, which is about the Manhattan Project and the three main secret cities that were a part of the Manhattan Project, which is what Oppenheimer is based on.
It was really an important piece of cinema. And it's a well-crafted film in general, too. And I think it's rated R. It's not something that, anybody younger than Jack I would have taken to.
But... Oh, my gosh. I have to tell this story then. Yeah. So Jack told... the story, Jason and Jack told the story at lunch afterwards so there is an adult moment in the movie, and Jack is sitting there with his dad on one side and his uncle on the other side, and the adult moment begins. And Jack, he's so great. He leans over to Jason and he puts his hand over Jason's eyes so that Jason can't watch it to shield him. And then he leans over to his uncle. Does the same thing. So Jack is sitting there covering Jason and Grant's eyes so that they can't watch the adult moment.
It was funny.
And that was his way of breaking what I'm sure was a moment of awkward.
He didn't miss a beat.
He never does. You know what? He's so cool about stuff like that, because he's like, whatever, it's just something, it's just part of life. Yeah. So he's pretty cool about stuff like that.
All right. What's your black tank this week?
So my black tank, first off, before I get into the black tank, because I'm going to talk about Bexy here, we learned something really interesting about Bexy thanks to someone who left a comment on YouTube asking us a question about the IBEX, about our IBEX 20 BHS. And they made a comment that the 2023s are being listed as 22 feet, 11 inches long. So that got us thinking because we have, again, been believing we were in a 25-foot travel trailer. And we went on the website, we looked, and we're like, oh, it is saying 2211. Okay. So we're laying there and we're kind of doing just like real general math. Like, okay, a queen size bed is this long and the kids bunks are that long and the dinette is this long. And we're kind of like, hey, that's like roughly around 19 and a half, 20, 21. I think it was like, we came up with it being about 21 feet.
Yeah. And then we looked at the door sticker and what do you know?
2211.
We've and been living at 23 feet all this time thinking we were at 25 feet.
I was like, we are rock stars. Okay. We have been with five people for 6 months in a 23-foot travel trailer. We're also very classic Jason and Abby being like, 25 feet, this is what we're in. And literally the sticker on the door is like, you're in a 2211. So we learned that little new piece about Bexy. We still love Bexy. I'm like, we are even more hardcore than it makes all the difference, this 2 feet. Bexy had a rough go yesterday down the Alaska Highway, but did great. Like that again, independent suspension, clutch, refrigerator, hard time. Real hard time at some point, and we were, let me just say, we were going between Toke and Destruction Bay. I was driving and we were not going fast. I was not going fast. I was riding those frost heaves at a slow good speed. I'm hitting those washboards a couple of times. We got caught a little bit. You get on those washboards and the big dips are hidden and you try to catch them. Going, I would like to say I did really well yesterday.
You did.
Okay. Thank you. I needed validation. Come into the rig and we're getting set up. I come into the rig. Fridge door's closed, by the way. Fridge is closed.
And it's one that has the snap latch built in on the fridge.
Yeah. So I'm about to start dinner and I open up the pantry and I happen to just kind of glance down at the floor and I'm like, why is this 3-pack of Costco hamburger meat? Why is my prosciutto on the, why is the ranch on the ground? What is this goop everywhere? The fridge at some point, so I open the fridge to see like and catch the eggs in my hand as they start to fall out. Some point during the drive, we hit something so hard, fridge popped open, or perhaps the fridge wasn't fully latched because this happened after lunch. So we'd been stopped for 4 hours. And we got back on the road. So perhaps the fridge wasn't fully latched. What had happened was one of my favorite sauces, it's called Bitchin' Sauce. That's the name of it. I had a 3-pack of it that you can buy at Costco, and we hadn't opened it yet. It fell out. The container hit probably the corner, I'm guessing, of the bottom of the fridge, busted the bottom part of the container, big chunk of the plastic taken out. And that full thing of sauce then proceeded to just cover everything. And we have a bunch of food on the floor right now because we just done a Costco run. So like all those snacks and containers are like sitting there underneath the fridge on the floor because we live in 22 feet and we don't have space for it. I get to say 22 feet now, by the way. We live in 22
feet. We live in 23 feet.
We live in 22 feet.
1 inch is not.
So it was, thank goodness that stuff was there because I think it actually broke the fall a little bit on some things. And especially if the eggs had fallen out, it might have saved the eggs. It was such a mess. It was such a mess. And it was like 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Right up there with like the one time in the bus, spaghetti jar.
Oh my God. It was,
flew out of the fridge. And
I would argue that this, I think the spaghetti sauce was worse because the spaghetti sauce just went like little bits of spaghetti sauce everywhere.
I think what happens in RV fridges, I think probably what happened in ours is we didn't actually latch it. But what often happens, it's not the door that swings open. It's stuff slamming into the door that makes the door open.
I'm pretty sure that that's
something like that. And they do sell, like, sort of like retention rods. They're like the shower rods, but little tiny ones that go into your fridge and hold your food back.
Yes.
And that would probably be smart for roads like this.
Well, you know, Jason, we're not here to...
That you can also use them in cabinets and stuff to hold other things back.
We're here to impart wisdom after the fact,
yeah.
not prior. Yeah. We are reactive most of the time as opposed to proactive.
So, yeah, the roads are rough up here.
Roads are rough.
Prepare for that.
Somebody told me today, I wish I could tell you it's going to get better. It's not. This is not a stretch we've driven because we took the Cassiar Highway.
And that was better than this.
Oh, give me that all day long. So we will see what today's drive to Whitehorse is like.
All right. What's in your fresh tank?
My fresh tank this week goes actually to an RV Miles listener. I would like to thank Dee, who we got to meet last week, for the really kind gift of my most favorite creamer on the planet, the Calafia's Better Half, which is almond milk and coconut cream, kind of to mimic a half and half dairy. And I had mentioned several podcasts ago that getting any kind of Amazon locker was just kind of non-existent and that I really missed this creamer. And she on a whim, because she lives up here near Anchorage, had Amazon deliver it to her, and she gifted it to me the day before we were going to get back on the road and head home. And I just, you know, I want her to know that really, really meant a lot to me. And I just want her to know how much I appreciate that and how nice it has been on these long drive days to have that little bit of comfort in the mornings when I start my day. So thank you very much, Dee, and what a pleasure it was to meet you and what a pleasure it was to meet so many other people in the Alaska area as well. We feel just so fortunate to have had that time up there and to run into so many of you and to be able to talk to you. That is a real gift for us because often we're just talking to this camera or talking to the mics. And
it was amazing how many people we ran into in Alaska. More, I've said this before, more than anywhere else. We love seeing y'all in any campground that we're at, but it has happened more in Alaska than anywhere else.
Yeah, and I really want to encourage people to never feel like you can't say hi to us. So many of you mentioned I didn't want to bother you, and I hope that you know that we don't consider you a bother at all. We consider you a vital part of a community that we really love and appreciate. So don't ever not say hi to us. Please say hi to us. We always love being able to talk to you and to meet you. And it's one of the highlights of what we do because this can be really isolating every week to just sit down. And I love Jason. I love talking to you, but it's so nice to be able to talk to those who also listen and share that community. So please say hi to us, which is why, you know, we're so excited for homecoming in just a few months. Yeah. And hey, that's almost completely sold out. I think we're down to about 5 campsites left. So, and we do anticipate that the event will sell out. So if that's something that you're wanting to attend and you want to join us, it's October 4th through 8th in Amana, Iowa. I would really encourage you to get your tickets and get your campsite booked now. We will link to that in the show notes as well as the description on YouTube.
And if it does sell out, we'll try to see if the campground can, if we can open something up, but we don't know. So,
but we are already we're already in talks with them for dates for next year at the same location in Amana, Iowa, somewhere between middle to end of September and early October. So for those of you who can't join us this year and have been asking, we will be doing this again. We will increase the amount of attendees that we can have, but we are planning on it being around the same time again this year. Sorry, balloon fiesta, but it's just such a great time to be in Amana at that time of year. There's a little less corn sweat.
All right. That's it for this week's RV Miles podcast.
Yes, it is. And hey, if you are enjoying the show and you would like to support RV Miles, there are two ways that you can do that. One, you can become a Mile Marker member. We would love to welcome you to that community as well. We've got live streams and free subscriptions to Rootless Living and RV Today. And we've got the Detour podcast. We've got lots of ways to say thank you over there. If you would like to share this podcast or head over to Apple Podcast and leave a 5-star review for RV Miles, that is a tremendous way as well to offer support here for what we do. If you have questions for Jason and I, come on over to the RV Miles Facebook group and ask us there. We'd love to chat with you about this episode or anything else that we've talked about in the past. But until then, please stay well, please stay safe, and go check your tires, please, and keep logging those RV miles.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.